we're joined on the line now by Shahram Khuldi, who we spoke to about a month ago about the elections in Iran. Good morning, Shahram. So I wanted to first start off, we got the results of the elections. Could you tell us what the process was? Because there were two rounds of voting, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. Basically, the system works in a very simple way. They have designed the constitution in a way that if there are multiple candidates in the first round, the only candidates who have gotten most of the vote, they will get to the second round. And, of course, if there is one candidate who has gotten more than 50% of the vote cast, of course, that person would be recognized president. But, of course, this didn't happen in the first round of the presidential election this June. And obviously, it took us to a second round. And of course, I suppose people should know by now that there was a vetting process. The Guardian Council basically reviewed the qualification of about 1,010 people who nominated themselves to run for the presidential campaign a month before the presidential campaign. And of these, just five conservative candidates were qualified, and two reformist and, or one could say, moderate conservative, I mean, one moderate conservative and one reformist candidates, they were disqualified, and upon the order of the Supreme Leader, these two people were qualified eventually and participated in the campaign as well.
The results of the election came in this weekend, and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has been elected as the new president of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You had predicted that it was actually going to be Rafsanjani, who, because of his moderate conservative views, would probably pull through with the win. What was your reaction to finding out that your prediction was wrong?
Well, obviously, I was not alone in this prediction, but there were many other people who were predicting as such, but the division was basically between Dr. Moin, who was the reformist candidate and one of the ministers of the President Khatami, of the President Khatami's administration, and the other one was basically Rafsanjani. The rest of the conservative candidates, according to many estimates and according to Iranian Student Association's polls, they didn't have the polls did not show that they had much chance, and of course we went wrong based upon two types of wishful thinking, perhaps. The first one was that those of us who were thinking that Rafsanjani will be successful was that we thought that, and correctly so as it turned out, that Dr. Moin would not even perhaps qualify by the Guardian Council because of the pro-democratic leanings that he has. And that turned out true. And in the first round, actually, former President Rafsanjani came first, ahead of all the other candidates. So the shock and awe, basically, that was launched upon all of us who were having some sort of projection was that Ahmadinejad, who was perhaps the, a very low-profile candidate amongst the conservative ones, and who is the mayor of Tehran, at this point, he basically pulled it off ahead of everybody else and, of course, right behind Rafsanjani, and eventually he won. So I think there were a number of factors that were involved. And just before the election started, there was a massive referendum movement that started, but this is a referendum movement that called for the amendment of the Constitution. Started by the diaspora, basically, the dissidents who were already outside the country. Actually, one of the people who started the referendum movement was Mohsen Sazgara, who, like the president-elect Ahmadinejad, is one of the founders of the Revolutionary Guards. And Mohsen Sazgara became a dissident as a result of the closure of his newspaper a few years ago. and he was put in jail, and eventually he came, and he is right now working with a relatively conservative, some people identify it as a new con, American Enterprise Institute, and he issued this referendum call. Nobody thought that the referendum call would be taken so seriously by many, and many people boycotted the election. But I'm not really sure how much this referendum call reached out to the people inside Iran, but what we have seen so far is that almost 40% of the electorate did not participate in the election. And in the second round, basically, 10 million people voted for President Rafsanjani, former President Rafsanjani, and 17 million people voted for Ahmadinejad, but 18 million people did not participate in the election at all. So overall, we can say that at least 28 million people did not vote for Ahmadinejad. And in the end of the day, Ahmadinejad was elected just by 17 million of the electorate out of almost 47 million eligible voters. So this is not really that a mass number of Iranians turned up at the polls and voted for Mr. Ahmadinejad.
Let's go to how he won. Who were the principal people that voted for him? And since his election, what has been some of the analysis around his victory and how it exactly came about? You spoke a little bit about voter turnout as being crucial to that. Who were his supporters?
Well, his supporters are basically, I would say, a minority in the poorest strata of the Iranian society who are, incidentally, very religious. And this religious minority of poor working class has always been more or less behind the Islamic Revolution. These people were the migrants of the Shah's time who came to the cities. They went and lived in shanty towns. And the Islamic Revolution was basically a promise of equality and social justice for them. In the first 10 years of the revolution, this part of the society contributed most to the war, and many of the members of their families became handicapped or were martyrs. And through the Supreme Leaders Foundation, they were given subsidies and they were supported a great deal until 1988. But after the death of Ayatollah Khomeini and the leadership of Ayatollah Khamenei and the presidency of President Rafsanjani, the state was almost bankrupt, and most of the support from these people, even from the Supreme Leaders Foundation that are tax exempt and were supposed to help these people, were reduced. And Rafsanjani's privatization policies, of course, kind of helped out that there would be some sort of, and I said this in the previous interview, that the gap between the poor and the rich increased. But at the same time, some of the people in the poor, lower middle class, were boosted as a result of the past 8 years, a massive increase in the oil prices. But on the other hand, this sizable, and 17 million people, if we say that actually the vote was not rigged, because there are a lot of rumors that the vote was rigged, and this 17 million is not necessarily a correct estimate. But if we say that 17 million people at least voted for Ahmadinejad, a majority of these people are the people who were disenchanted by the economic reforms of the former president Rafsanjani in 8 years, and then political reforms of President Khatami, and they were the ones who thought that they were most betrayed by these two clergies. And Ahmadinejad is not a clergy, but he is a Revolutionary Guard founder. He is a U.S. Embassy hostage taker. He was one of the people who also wanted to plan an attack against the Soviet Union embassy and take the Soviet Union diplomats hostage. And he is also been told to have murdered. We don't know whether this is true or not. There's this allegation that he was a member of the intelligence ministry and he participated in the assassination of a former minister of health of the first interim government of the Islamic Republic. So all things considered, overall, there was a lot of sympathy vote from a sizable poor working class religious, I would say, stratum of the society for Ahmadinejad.
As you mentioned, Ahmadinejad is the mayor of Tehran. What do you think was his legacy as mayor, and how does that compare to the platform that he was running on, the social justice platform?
First of all, I'm not very much aware as to whether he has done much about certain important and immediate issues about very poor neighborhoods in Tehran that are basically hotbeds of drug trafficking, and not much development has yet happened in places like Khaki-Safid and Dolat-Abad and places like that. But in relatively better developed southern neighborhoods, they have tried to come up with better sewage system. They have tried to introduce a new measure for development. He has done some good things, and one has to say that to his credit, that he has tried to do to streamline the way the municipality districts in Tehran work, and he has tried to crack down on corruption. And he's being said to have been relatively successful in cracking down on corruption. Basically, for a long time, if you wanted to develop in Tehran's municipality districts, you would have to pay a lot of money to bureaucrats in the municipality and things like that. They say that there has been a crackdown by Ahmadinejad, and as a result of this, Ahmadinejad apparently, his successful campaign against corruption, at least in the municipality, has received a lot of attention. So I would say that relatively he has had some sort of a record as a mayor who has been concerned about the city, but on the other hand, we hear that, for example, the cultural centers in Tehran that were supporting a lot of orchestra, choir, and things like that because they don't bode well with his traditionalist views. He has reduced support for them, and instead festivals of Quran or reciting religious dicta and things like that are being subsidized more by the municipality. So obviously he has a traditionalist, ultra-Orthodox approach towards social issues, but he leans more towards social justice and equality.
Now, as you mentioned, Ahmadinejad is not a cleric. How do you think this is going to play out in the parliament and within the ruling religious ranks in Iran? Are there concerns about his legitimacy to be president in an Islamic republic if he's not actually a cleric?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have to say that Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the revolution, did frown upon active intervention of the clergy in politics as presidents. In fact, the first two presidents of the Islamic Republic were non-clerics. And Ahmadinejad is the third president of the Islamic Republic that is a non-cleric. But since the first one escaped Iran because of his problems with the clergy, and the second one was assassinated, eventually the present supreme leader was chosen by the establishment at the time to run as president, and he became president. So Ayatollah Khamenei was president for much of the 1980s. I don't think much will change in terms of the relationship between the different seats of power in Iran. In fact, Ahmadinejad is a favorite of the ultra-Orthodox conservatives who have dominated the parliament since February 2004. And the Guardian Council is dominated by the same mindset. The supreme leader supports them. So what we have seen is that some sort of a totalization of power at all levels of the judiciary, executive, and legislative, as well as the supreme leader institutions. So what we will see from this point onwards is that consistent, ultra-Orthodox conservative approach, at least in many areas, but we do not know. Mr. Ahmadinejad has said that he will take a very moderate approach in terms of foreign policy. He will take a moderate approach in terms of economic development, but it remains to be seen how socialist he will become in terms of economic development. For example, one of his lieutenants threatened that they will close down Tehran Stock Exchange, because Tehran Stock Exchange fell by 126 points upon the news of Mr. Ahmadinejad, and European investors are said to be reviewing whether they are going to do more foreign investment in Iran, because they are a major trade partner of Iran. So it remains to be seen what kind of policies he will adopt, but in terms of the general administration of the state, actually in the short term it seems that a very totalist state is going to be put in place and introduced.
I have one last question about Ahmadinejad's approach to foreign policy. Some of the Western media in the past few days since his election has been talking about his, quote, anti-U.S. stance. What do you make of his views towards foreign intervention, foreign policy, particularly with the United States, and also with regards to the nuclear issue?
Well, Ahmadinejad is definitely a heart-bleeding supporter of Iran being equipped with nuclear technology. But this does not mean that the moderate conservatives and the former president, Afsanjani, were not supportive of that. The difference, though, was that Afsanjani was a man of bargaining, and Ahmadinejad seems not to be a man of bargaining, and he seems to be far more rigid and towards the whole question of foreign policy. Revolutionary Guards people, and of course I have to say that this is the first time that someone is becoming president with very, very outstanding militant military Revolutionary Guard background. I mean, until this time, there was no man of such rank was ever elected to such a high office. So Ahmadinejad has said at numerous occasions that he's going to withstand the United States, and actually many of the dissidents outside Iran who boycotted the election, they were hoping that the politics of the Islamic Republic rigidifies to the point that an ultra-Orthodox hardliner becomes president, so that, in fact, the United States becomes encouraged to launch some sort of a military intervention against the regime, and eventually it would weaken and or topple the regime. Of course, that, in my opinion, is absolute wishful thinking, but and I don't think that it is reasonable to think like that, but we don't have time for it. But what I can tell you is that it is a waiting game at this point. I still believe that the Islamic Republic is very conscious about its survival. When I predicted that Afsanjani is the best choice to become president, it was because it would definitely increase the survivability of the Islamic Republic because of his diplomatic tactics and commitment to the principles of the Islamic Revolution at the same time. But this person does not have any foreign policy experience. And this person is very rigid in terms of his approach, his anti-U.S. approach. And as a Revolutionary Guard person, he is a sympathizer of many so-called and or terrorist organizations such as Hezbollah or Islamic Jihad. And it is very possible that at least we would see some streamlining in terms of the hardline approach of the Islamic Republic of Iran. But will the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Republic rein him in and would say that, well, there is a fine line that we have to thread and we cannot take a very ultra-Orthodox approach against the United States? It really remains to be seen.
Thank you for joining us, Shahram.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
No problem. We were joined on the line by Shahram Khodi, who is a PhD candidate at the University of Manchester. He spoke to us today about the outcome of the Iranian elections, which came in and saw the surprise victory of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who many describe as a hardliner, and he was a member of the Revolutionary Guards and is the former mayor of Tehran.